Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the council meeting, the ordinary council meeting of Nambucca Valley Council, 23rd of January 2025. I'd like to acknowledge the Gumbanga people, who are the traditional custodians of the land. I'd also like to pay respects to the elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to any Aboriginal person present. This meeting's being video webcast, and those in attendance should refrain from making any defamatory statements. The Mayor and councillors are being videoed, recorded for internal training purposes. Have we any apologies? Nil apologies?
No, Mr. Mayor, no apologies.
I'd like to call Pastor David Bashard up to have a prayer from the Christian Community Church. Thank you.
Thank you. No, we're not on.
Are you switched it off now?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Is that better? We're on. And congratulations again. It's a privilege to be here. So, and councillors, and welcome to all the community as well for turning up. I'll open in prayer. Well, Father, we just thank you for this amazing valley. Lord, for all the people and the community in it. And so, Lord, we lift up this meeting. We ask for wisdom and guidance. Lord, that this community would be a beacon to many others, that we'd be able to get along together and be one for each other, that we'd all be countrymen working together as one. And so we lift up all the things today that might pop up, and we ask for your wisdom and guidance. In your holy name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any disclosures of interest?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I have one disclosure of interest for item 12.4 in the confidential section of council. It's regarding, it's from Bede Spanigal, and it's a pecuniary interest. I will leave the chamber and take no part in the discussion. And it's an item regarding the general manager's performance review.
Thank you. We don't have to move it on that, do we? Can I get a move and a seconder for the public forum?
No, we don't.
Confirmation
need
minutes,
one.
Hang on. Okay. Move and a second for the confirmation. Move for the confirmation minutes. Thank you, Councillor Angel and Councillor Smith, for seconding. Those in favour?
Any changes?
No changes. All in favour? Against? Carried. Thank you. Notice of motions nil. Pup will move into public forum. Move in public. Mr. Askell, could you move the stand? Invite Ms. Raywin Mackey to the stand to the podium to address the gallery. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor, councillors, council staff and public. I want to talk about another issue related to horticulture and more specifically the berry farming in the Nambucca Valley. It's been in the news a good deal lately. It's modern slavery. Before you think to yourself that it can't be happening here, the Be Our Guests Modern Slavery Report, published by the New South Wales Anti-Slavery Commissioner in September 2024, names Nambucca Valley, along with Coffs Harbour, at the very beginning of the report. It's quite possible that members of the public and perhaps the council are unaware that this is occurring, but I'm sure that many of you do know about it, just perhaps not the extent to which it is occurring in the valley. No matter, I am sure that people have noticed the increase in foreign workers in the towns and surrounds of our valley as the picking seasons come and go. Unfortunately for many of these workers, even though some of the berry farms do treat them nicely, most are underpaid and work and live in less than ideal conditions. We know that some workers are brought from other countries in groups to come here, and often the person who organises that group of workers takes a chunk of their wages. Others are already in Australia, perhaps backpackers, or people who are trying to meet the requirements of their visa, apply for jobs and come here. The Nambucca Environment Network knows, with regard to living conditions, houses are often overcrowded with up to 18 people living in a three-bedroomed house. Some of the houses are not healthy to live in. Workers have become ill from these conditions, which begs the question, which real estate rented this particular house, and do the estate agencies have an obligation to undertake house checks? And real estate who rent out these houses are complicit in modern slavery and will, no doubt, be subject to the consequences. Workers are often overcharged for rent, with each person paying somewhere between $130 and $170 per week for their mattress. And do the maths on that one. $130 a week times 18 workers in the house is $2,340 per week. Mattresses could be on the floor, on a bunk bed, in a shed, in a donga, a caravan, or not even a mattress at all. I know of one worker who was given a bed base. Some accommodations have a supervisor or a minder in the house, so outside of work hours, the workers don't have any privacy or any independence. With regard to working conditions on the farms, workers usually have to pay $10 a day to get to and from the farms that they work on. And often prior to starting their job, they don't know about this extra $50, $60 or $70 a week that they are up for. There's often no employment contract and there is no contract about them getting to and from the farms. Sometimes workers are drivers of the vehicles. That's because they've negotiated with the farmer to avoid paying the $10 fee every day. Some of the transport vehicles are unsafe and unroadworthy. Some workers don't get proper payslips. Payslips are not always correct. They don't always provide the legal information they should, and sometimes they actually provide incorrect information. Wages are often worse than poor, illegal even. Often workers are paid by the kilo instead of an hourly rate, and this can be as low as $2.50 a kilo, and they might only pick 2 kilos in an hour. At the end of a working week, which can be anything up to 7 days, a worker might only be paid a little over $150. Consequently, they haven't got any very little money for food. This has a flow-on effect to the businesses in our valley. And these workers, they do not have any money to send back home. This proves that the piece rate per kilo does not equal the hourly rate, the award hourly rate that they should be paid. Sometimes there is no employment contract. Sometimes there is no training or instruction in the work to be undertaken. And as many have no English and do not speak the language of the farm owners nor the farm supervisors, how do they learn what they need to know? How do they communicate? With language being a huge barrier, we know that verbal abuse is occurring. On some farms, the workers are required to work up to 11 hours a day, but 10 hours is not uncommon, even in 30 to 40 degree heat, especially under netting. On some farms, work breaks are not encouraged. Many workers are unaware of the chemicals used on these farms.
Excuse me, I'd like to ask, any councillor would like to move or second?
I'll move that.
Or the speaker to continue, maximum another 5 minutes.
Thank you. I won't be fired. Right. Thank you.
Thank you. All in favour? Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Mover was Councillor Jones. Seconder was Councillor Genvey.
Many workers are unaware of the chemicals used on these farms. They're not provided with any kind of PPE. Some of the farms... workers have been seen ground spraying without protective clothing or masks. Some of the farms have insufficient or no sanitation facilities, and often the facilities that they do have are a very long way away from the major part of the farm. You must ask yourself, the lack of privacy, particularly for women when they need it, for toileting. Are there hand-washing facilities for the pickers? These berries go to market unwashed and they don't get washed at the sheds either. Past governments have created schemes for foreign workers to come to Australia to fill these positions, often in agriculture and horticulture, that are apparently difficult to find staff for, but in doing so they have failed, and they still do, to check that all is above board and legal and that these workers are being fairly treated. The government's failed to put anything in place for these people for when things go wrong, and here many things do go wrong and they go wrong quickly. Some can get out, but generally the ones who are bought in groups from their home countries, there's no getting out. There's no getting off the farms
Excuse
for them.
Excuse me.
You can't take photos.
No photos to be taken in the chamber whilst we're conducting the business. Thank you.
And Nambucca Valley also has little to nothing in place to assist those who want or need to flee their situation. The statistics are horrendous. There are over 41,000 people in Australia that they know of in modern slavery, and Slavery Commissioner James Cockayne recently stated on the news that there are over 16,000 people in New South Wales alone in modern slavery conditions. And we know a good number of them are living here in the Nambucca Valley right beside us. It's not acceptable. Thankfully, you, the Nambucca Council, have already voted to regulate the horticulture industry, and this is another perfect example why it needs to happen. I have mentioned a number of issues that needed to be addressed in the DAs. Workers living on farms would be one of them. According to the NVLEP, there are circumstances where farm workers are not to be housed on farms unless with permission. To have you, our council, be on top of this would send a very strong message to berry farmers, and it would also make the Nambucca Valley a place that workers can come to for employment and they can feel safe and they know that they will be treated better than what they are. To have a council that does something about the housing of pickers to start with and not condone making money out of this situation would be great. And that's not just the farmers, but any businesses that do so knowingly. To see a council that makes information available to the workers and encourages the public to speak up about the crammed people in the houses next door and what they see on the farms that they live next to, you would be a leading council in this matter and in the North Coast, and hopefully something that other councils will follow. They are watching very closely what happens here. Please be a council that leads on this. Thank you.
Thank you for your address. Are there any questions? Councillor Clinton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Raywin, for that talk. And I did want to say very briefly, because I can't speak too much about it, but we are taking this matter very seriously as a council, which we will elaborate at a future meeting.
Have you got a question?
Quick question. What do you think we could do better in terms of communication, for example? Because you mentioned there's a language barrier. How do you see this working?
I'm not sure. There are so many different nationalities here as workers, and I know they don't have any information for what they do if they have a problem either in their accommodation or on the farm. So if we were able to get information to them, obviously in their own language, although I'm not quite sure how we would go about doing this. I think there's probably a very good reason why the farmers employ people who do not speak the language. We have to let them know that in dire straits there is somewhere that they can go or who they can call. Now, I know, and you probably know who I'm talking about, there's another person in this valley who has a lot of concern for these workers, and he's been giving out his phone number and helping people call the right agencies. I've actually just written a couple of articles for some newsletters, which will reach the ones who speak English, but it won't reach the ones who don't.
Well, any more questions? No further questions. Thank you very much for that enlightening speech. Thank you. I'd now like to call the second public forum speaker, Robin Bunton. Robin, you've also got 5 minutes to speak, and if you go over, I'll see if we get someone to move and second for a bit further, but if you can keep it brief, thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor, councillors, staff and guests. I'm speaking to you on behalf of myself and my neighbour Terry Stace. Our properties are separated by a blueberry farm and another borders that one. We've both had our lives turned upside down due to the practices on these farms. For me, the lesser of the negative effects would be the loss of my serene rural view and the peace and quiet I once had. I enjoyed an organic veggie garden and looked over paddocks and bush. This wildlife area has been depleted by the destruction of 180 acres of vegetation and has destroyed a koala habitat. About 12 months ago, I had to relinquish providing adjustment for cattle due to the chemical spray drift from the blueberry farm onto my land and into my dam. Like Terry, I've spent hundreds of dollars on planting vegetation buffer, so this was another financial loss to me, one that I really could not afford. The reason I've had to start growing a buffer is that my neighbour planted his berries close to my property. Incidentally, some of the rows are in the septic outlet, which is a council issue. And there are less than 50 metres from my house and veggie garden, and as a lack of regulation allows planting this close and not to have provided any kind of buffer, the responsibility for the health and safety of myself and my property ends up being mine alone. Same for Terry. Recently, my blueberry farmer neighbour was rinsing out his spray drum on the back of his tractor, right in his driveway, about 60 metres from my house. I had a visitor, we could both smell the chemical and see the spray drift directly towards us. I yelled out for him to stop. He came over and we had an unpleasant conversation in which he actually admitted to spraying dimethylate. I know from researching this is a highly dangerous chemical. It's banned in a number of countries, including the EU and India. It has several serious side effects, starting with headaches, nausea, vomiting, loss of coordination, etc., and can result in death. This was extremely stressful, not to mention at the end of our interaction, he threatened me with, "What are you going to do?" In a letter to council dated 5th of the 7th, 24, to which he has received no reply to date, Terry notified of an incident in December 23 when the blueberry farmer was spraying. He felt unwell and following day noticed all his bees had died. Terry used to teach beekeeping to TAFE students who would come out to his property to see it in practice. He's lost his job and income due to the proximity of farming practices of the blueberry farmer. You already know about the EPA being called to Terry's property and having his cattle quarantined for 28 days, another financial loss. This came about because another spraying incident where Terry called the EPA. They took soil samples from his property and found DEET and methamyl from the pesticide lanate. Methamyl is highly toxic to freshwater fish. It's highly toxic to humans, livestock, pets, and wildlife. Methamyl is fatal if swallowed, inhaled, or absorbed through the skin or eyes. The EPA found wastewater runoff from hothouses into the paddocks. The EPA took the blueberry farmer to court, and he's been given at least four fines. The farmer accessed Oz Group lawyer. That's a luxury neither Terry or I, if we had to, could engage. With the wastewater runoff from our neighbour's farm going into a small creek, that flows into Blackbuck Creek and eventually into the Nambucca River. And I'm concerned about the wider environmental health outcomes of that. Terry used to employ a worker on his property, but no longer as he's had to downsize already. He has eight calves at present, but cannot use the paddock adjacent to the berry farm due to the chemicals that are used on the farm kill calves. Dimethylate and methamyl only being two of many. He is again now having to consider downsizing further.
Excuse me, Robin. We've got a move in a second. We've got three of you there. Move, Councillor Gendry. Second, Councillor Simpson. You can continue for Oh, vote. All those in favour? Carried. You continue for another five minutes if you need it.
Thank you. No, but it won't be that long.
Right.
He's downsizing further or selling up cattle altogether, as he does not have enough viable land to run the numbers he used to. That's another bad financial predicament. I've had calls to contact the EPA, NRA, SafeWork, New South Wales Environment Department, some of them a number of times, with regard to our mutual neighbour. All of them have told me that this farmer is non-compliant. I can provide you with the contacts of the people I spoke to. These agencies are under-resourced and take a long time to complete investigations, during which time the berry farmers continue to practice unhealthy and unsafe farming methods way too close to neighbouring farmland and waterways, and we, the neighbours, have to endure the effects. We need buffers. I've stood before council previously about our road. Now the increase in traffic, including heavy trucks and utes and the number of workers' vehicles, increases road degradation much faster. After 40 years of me living there, a strip of tar would be nice. I have been threatened with 7 years jail if you don't shut up by another blueberry farmer. Whether that's possible or relevant, it could be irrelevant. It was intimidating. The spray incident regarding dimethylate caused serious stress for me. On top of that, I have a visual constant reminder of what I'm exposed to, rows of plants and nettings. I have to pass unkept, white plastic covered tunnels every time I drive home. The loss of income, continued breaches, the environmental and pesticide laws, conflict with my neighbours, chemicals, the spray drift on my property, spray drift landing on my roof and in my water tank, on my veggie garden, and knowing how many more years of this I have to endure all makes me constantly anxious. I get headaches and I have visited the doctor. Again, there needs to be large buffers between the horticulture and us, and wastewater needs to be planned for in the DA and managed on site properly. I'm tired being able to do, or they do all the wrong things to then the people and the environment, and they ignore legislation. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any questions from the councillors? Yes, Councillor Smith.
So you mentioned that you had contacted quite a few state agencies, the EPA. What were the other ones that you contacted again?
SafeWork, NRA, New South Wales Environment, Food Safe New South Wales.
And you've been unsatisfied with their response to the issue?
They're understaffed. Mm-hmm. They have to be there within 24 hours. So they suggested we get blotting paper and put it on the fence to catch any drift. But then that has to be in within 24 hours as well. They can't get down here to do that.
Do they come and do active testing, or is it done?
No.
Have you contacted your local state member in regards to this issue of state services?
As in Michael Kemp?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you had a response from him in regards to that issue? Yeah.
No.
Have you contacted
he
any...
He told me it wasn't my rural view. They could build a three-storey building and that's not up to me.
Have you contacted any other ministers or state...
Yeah.
State rep, that's a federal... Any other state ministers or anyone from the EPA... like the Environment Minister, for example?
Like Penny Sharp?
Yeah.
Yep.
Any response?
No.
Any further questions? No further questions?
Nothing.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you for your address. You want to respond? There's no delegations. Are there any delegations with notices? No. Questions?
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, there are none.
91.
Well,
the general. Keep General Manager's report. 9.1. We'll move a second for you to. Move. Thank you, Councillor Vance. Thank you, Councillor McWilliam. Any questions? I've got no questions.
One here.
Oh. Councillor Smith.
I did have a question, so I'm just waiting. Sorry, thank you. A question to the General Manager on item number 11. There was a speaker who spoke about some requirement of South Farm Hall, and it was resolved that we would develop a report on the hierarchy of works of all of our halls. I was just wondering in terms of an ETA or a timeline on that report.
Thank you, Councillor Smith. I will refer that question to the Director of Engineering.
Thank you, and through the General Manager, we're hoping to bring that report in February. We've been compiling the lists as part of the budget process now, so we should be able to bring a report in February.
Sorry, just a quick follow-up question. Just to confirm, that's not for all 355 committees and the buildings that they have, it's just the community halls? Or is it for all the assets within the, so say the Arts and Culture Centre in Nambucca, would that be included? Or Coronation Park, for example, would that be included?
So through the General Manager. So it talks in a council resolution for council halls. So we're looking at, so the Arts Hall will be part of that, but it won't be every council building.
Any further questions? Outstanding actions? Okay, I'll move. I'll put the motion. All in favour? Against? Carried. 9.2, mover, Councillor Angel, seconder. Councillor Simpson, adoption of plan of management, Barrowville Racecourse Reserve. General Manager? Is there any questions of the General Manager? None? All in favour? I'll put the motion. Carried. Thank you. Item 10. Moving a second. Just being at item 10.
Could you move that?
Happy to move that, Councillor Angel. Happy to second that, Councillor Smith. Any questions? In 10.1, no questions. I'll put the motion. All in favour? Against? Carried. 10.2, mover, Councillor Genvey, seconder. Councillor Ballengarry, any questions? Yes, Councillor Genvey.
Question for the General Manager or through the General Manager to staff. In the portfolio performance, it mentions that during December, Council redeemed $2 million of term deposits to allow for extra cash flows. Just if you'd like to comment on this process and perhaps our investment policy a little bit, limits of it.
I'd love to comment, Councillor Genvey, but probably best if the CFO does.
Thank you, and through the General Manager. So, yes, we did withdraw $2 million worth of investments due to the fact that we have a major creditors run at the end of the financial year. So we're just trying to tidy up and pay all our creditors at the end of the financial year, so we need some cash flow to pay those payments.
I've not seen it come across our books in that way before. I mean, I know it's operational, but.
Thank you for your question, Councillor Genvey. It's probably what we're trying to do, and in particular the CFO is trying to do, is to narrow the gap between when we need the cash and when we pull those TDs in. So it means you got more money invested, more cash invested. You only you only draw on it when you need it. So what happens is you'll see those jump when we actually have got that big creditor run. You'll actually see that jump in TDs pulled back in to pay that. But they're normally ones that are expiring anyway, I understand it.
They were expired, yeah, correct.
Just comment on the Treasury, New South Wales T-Corp or whatever it is, that how it was 34k out, or just what happened? How did that work?
How does it work? Look, I won't comment on the performance of a New South Wales Treasury fund. It's a managed share fund, essentially, owned by the state government, to which we buy units, and I think it's fair to say it's encouraged for councils to invest in that,
yep.
Given that it's a it's a much longer term financial horizon than term deposits are. So it's in the 7 to 10 year range. So I forget the amount we have invested with it, but that is money that we're not anticipating needing for at least seven to ten years. So the theory is that over that time you'll get a better rate of return than you will with TDs. So predominantly, and the CFA may wish to comment on this, you'd be looking at 6 to 7% or 1% above benchmark, whereas TDs you're probably only going to get 5%.
When it's good.
Did you wish to comment further?
Just how does it work that the TCOP managed fund managed to be short? That's all I don't quite understand.
So there, we've got thresholds with all our investments. So with each investment stage, we've got an investment threshold of how much money can be invested. That's what the council policy is. Because we took the $2 million out of cash, it just meant there was less of the balance of balance went down. So that meant the threshold was under by $34,000. For a period of time, but at the time of writing the report, more TDs have been taken out, so we're now above those thresholds.
Yep.
So it was only for a period.
No, I know it was only a thing, and it's you know how you manage your money, but I just wanted to know how it worked a bit better. So thank you.
Any further questions? I'll put the motion. All in favour? Carried. Thank you. 10.3. Mover. Move Councillor Smith, second to Councillor McWilliam. Any questions? Yes, Councillor Smith.
Just a quick question to the General Manager. I understand the Maxville Muster, it mentions that it's a charitable organisation, is that correct?
We don't believe so, no.
Okay. Is this something that we get requested quite often for waived waste services for large public events?
Yes, the largest we don't. They are a profit-making entity and they pay for their own waste.
Mm.
This is more about what I would consider, whilst it's not a start-up, it would certainly in its infancy, and it's more about... So Council's been providing this service for at least 3 or 4 years that I'm aware of. What I'm trying to do here is transparent, so that not just that the general public knows that we are contributing both the costs of disposal of the waste, but the in-kind services to pick it up, but also that to help that event gain its feet and grow, it's what you could consider an economic stimulus, if you like.
I think it's a great support for a public event that will only bring people to the area. My point was, if this is a regular thing that we want to help public events start, maybe this is something, if council sees fit, that it becomes more of a policy across large events across our whole shire.
We have our donations policy.
Yeah.
We do this for numerous events.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to do is bring that transparency to bear. And then if it needs a change to that donations policy, then we'll look at this as part of that.
Have we reviewed our donations policy since we've been...
No, it needs to be done in this current term of council. So we'll try and do that over the next... We're going to try and do the vast majority of them in the first 2 years, but we can bring some forward. This
I think
is
it's
one.
A great support for large events, and it's a way that council can really support it, so...
The other thing, by making it transparent too, is so if council resolves to go this way, what we then do is go back to the organiser and say, "Righto, it's public that we are supporting this, and we want sponsorship and banners and logo on your programs and all that sort of, that positive exposure that we're not currently getting.
I think it's great.
Any further questions? No further questions, I'll put the motion. All in favour? Carried. 10.4, I move and second. Yes, Councillor Genvey, and seconded by Councillor Ballengarry. Questions? Yes, Councillor Genvey.
I'd like to move an amendment to the recommendation that we endorse the current rate of a decrease of 100%. If you want me to talk to that, I just think we just try and give this organisation, which deals with at-risk youth, the best chance of getting through, navigating.
Second.
You got a second for this?
Yeah,
Councillor Angel, thank you for a second.
Yeah.
Now you'd like to talk to them?
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's all right. I missed it too.
Yeah, so... just to give the youth the best chance possible of surviving. It's make or break for them. So even if they don't make it, it would still be considerable winding up time. But I'm hoping that they do. And I think possibly federal government would be the only way forward for the organisation to have some funding from it. But this stage, I'd just like council to do everything it could.
Any further questions or comments? Councillor Smith?
I do have one question. I'm unsure if anyone will be able to answer it. If for some reason the youthy as an organisation aren't able to continue and we have this building that, you know, is clearly should be used for a community centre or a youth centre of some sort. What are the options if the youthy does dissolve, and what power do we have as a council to influence that space?
We don't have a great deal of power per se to influence that space. The building, I think from memory, is owned by the Crown.
It's Crown
on Crown land. So someone will be paying the rates, I can assure you. At the moment, it's youthy. If they are dissolved, then Crown lands will be paying the rates.
So we've got to move the amendment.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor. And what Crown land decides to do with it is their business.
At the moment, it's got offices in it for headspace and all sorts of... There's quite about three leases within it, so it's important to keep going.
So are we putting the first motion or...
The amendment.
I'll put the amendment. All in favour? Against? The amendment now becomes the motion that endorses the rate change. I'll put the motion. All in favour? Against? Carried. That's good. Item 10.5, nominations of Section 355 Committees of Management. Can a mover? Councillor McWilliam. Seconder, Councillor Smith. Any questions? No questions? I'll put the motion. All in favour? Against? Carried. Item 11, Manager's Development Reports, 11.1. The mover? Councillor Angel? Seconder? Councillor Simpson? Thank you. Any questions? No questions? All in favour? I'll put the motion. All in favour? Carried. 11.2, the Council's Rangers Penalties Report. A mover? Councillor Mover. Councillor Ballengarry, seconder. Councillor Smith, questions? The motion to accept? All in favour? Against? Carried. 11.3, approval of construction certificate to remover. Councillor McWilliam, seconder. Councillor Simpson. Any questions? Yes, Councillor Jones.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, could I ask for the General Manager for comment about whether we're seeing a tick along of sort of development, or whether it's up or down, or how the...
Sideways.
Thank you for the question, Councillor. I'll pass that one to the Manager of Development and Environment.
Through the General Manager, Councillor Jones, there has been a drop in the last, since compared to the last few years, in the number of DAs coming in, and also a drop in the construction certificates. The drop in construction certificates was noticed earlier, sort of early to mid last year. The drop in DAs has happened in the last probably couple of months.
Thank you very much.
Any further questions? I'll put the motion. All in favour? Against? Carried. I have a mover and a seconder to move into a closed meeting. Moved Councillor McWilliam, seconded Councillor Genvey. All in favour? Carried. Ask the gallery, we're going moving into closed, you know, closed summary and a closed meeting. Could leave the gallery, please. We'll call you back. We'll ask the General Manager to give us a report on matters dealt with in closed business, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Council in closed business considered item 12.1, the supply of electricity for contestable metered sites and street lighting. It was resolved on the moving of Councillors Genvey and Councillor Angel that Council notes the successful tenderers for tender T18-2024, schedule of rates tender for the supply of electricity for contestable metered sites and street lighting. Contract 1, the supply of non-contestable electricity for small sites, went to AGL Sales from 1st of February 2025 to the 31st of the 1st 2027. Contract 2, the supply of electricity for large sites, went to Shell Energy Retail from the 1st of January 2025 to the 31st of December 2027. And contract 3, the supply of electricity, just amend that there, does not change the intent. The supply of electricity for street lighting went to Origin Zero from the 1st of January 2025 to the 31st of December 2027. Thank you. Item 12.2 are the minutes of the National Celebration Day Advisory Committee meeting 9th of January 2025. It was resolved on the move of Councillor Angel and Councillor McWilliam that Council note the minutes of the National Celebration Day Advisory Committee meeting held on the 9th of January 2025. And item 2 approves the change to the Services to the Community Award within item 4.1 of those meeting minutes of the National Celebration Day Advisory Committee. And item 12.3, the matters regarding realised or potential losses was resolved on the moving of Councillor Genvey and seconded Councillor Angel that Council notes the information concerning incidents where there is a realised or potential loss of funds and or reputation. Item 12.4, with regard to the General Manager's annual performance review, resolved on the moving of Mayor Lee and Councillor Genvey that Council endorsed the review committee's appraisal of the General Manager's annual performance review on 5 December 2024 as more than satisfactory, and endorsed the review committee's recommendation for a performance-based increase of 5% backdated to the anniversary of the commencement date of the General Manager. Our motion was carried. Thank you. Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, General Manager. I move a second to close the meeting. Not needed?
No further business.
If there's no further business, declare the meeting closed. Thank you very much for your attendance.